Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We're continuing to make our way through this season of Lent. I hope you're still hanging in there and getting the most out of the season. It's such an important time of the church. You're getting ready for us all to celebrate, to walk first with our Lord through his passion and his death, and to allow the church, for me, this time of the year as we're starting to move toward the Triduum, that series of liturgies in the Triduum is the most powerful, most beautiful time of the year from my perspective, liturgically. And there's lots of other times of the year I love as well, but that one in particular, and when it's done well, and we just prayerfully make our way through it, and the priest presides in a way that just allows the rite to carry us, and the whole story to unfold, and the wisdom and grace that's present in it, it's so great. And so in some ways, the whole of Lent is we're leading up to that point. We're preparing ourselves, preparing our hearts. We're doing our battle against sin to put ourselves in the right place with the Lord, and to allow him to remove from us anything in us that resists his love and that resists the working out of his love in our lives and our relationships and the work we're in and the rest. That's really what it means to grow in holiness, is to grow in love for God and love for neighbor fundamentally. And he wants to expand our hearts. He wants to ignite something deeper that allows us to overcome obstacles to his love, obstacles to living more fully in his love. He wants this season to be not just a discouraging sort of personal beatdown, but to be able to have hope and confidence that what's happening this season is a loving God is we're disposing ourselves more fully through prayer, through fasting, through almsgiving, through service for added prayer, liturgical practice, and the rest. We're just disposing ourselves to something he has to work in us with our cooperation. We can't just make it happen, but he does say, seek him, desire him, hunger, thirst. And the more we seek, the more we pursue him, the more he'll draw near, the more he'll open our hearts and he'll give us. And if we don't even have that desire, you could say, Lord, give me a desire that I don't have. I don't think about you very often. I don't think about radically living more fully for you. I don't have the kind of relationship that I hear people talking about or it's described in Scripture. I'm not even sure I have a desire for it. Please, Lord, give me a desire that I don't have. I mean, he'll do that if you hunger and seek for it initially and ask for his help. And so we've been looking at, began last week, the book of Revelation. I'm going to continue today and through this week. Last week, we looked mainly at the first chapter of the book of Revelation. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I encourage you to go to our website. The programs from last week are archived there. Simplest way to have access to my program, Sister Anne's programs, and others is just download the Renewal Ministries app. That's the best way to go. You can listen to the programs anytime you want. It's at your convenience at that point. So the book of Revelation, as I said many times last week, the title Revelation comes from the word apocalypsis, from the Greek term, which means unveiling. And what we're seeing here, this Christian book of prophecy, where the writer John receives revelation from Jesus about the seven churches that he's shepherding and what's about to happen in their lives. And we'll start diving into that today, the seven churches. We didn't look at it too much last week, but it's the unveiling of God's plan for them and what's to come for them, what's happening for them. It's also the unveiling of the larger purpose of God, the book of Revelation, God's ultimate victory over evil. And then the deepest revelation of all, you might say, is the revelation of the person of Jesus, the man behind the plan, the one who has been given authority by the Father to bring about the final total triumph and putting away of evil and establishing of the kingdom of God. And the whole book of Revelation is a beautiful, sometimes frightening in a good sense, way of coming to terms with the majesty and power and glory of Jesus. That's kind of where we left off yesterday or Friday. And I just want to read those final verses in chapter 1 one more time and just touch on them, and then we'll dive into the first of the seven churches today, the message of the Lord to the church in Ephesus. Verse 17, it says, when I saw him, that is when he saw the one who was speaking to him, when he saw the Lord and he was caught up in the Spirit, John said, he saw a revelation of the majesty of Jesus. And he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. all the concerns that John had for his own life in that moment, all the concerns for the churches, all the burdens and troubles and distractions, everything went away in an instant. And he dropped to the ground as though dead by just catching a glimpse of the greatness of the King, the majesty of Jesus. And then John goes on to say, as he's laying there, he couldn't move. He said, but he laid his right hand upon me, so that you see the tenderness, despite the fact of his overwhelming power, he gently puts his hand on John's back, a disciple who he loves, right? Jesus loves all of his disciples. We're all the Father's children. All were baptized in him. We're one body with him, and he loves us dearly. And then Jesus says this, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. So Jesus makes clear who he is. Here's another unveiling, a deeper revelation of Jesus. I'm the first and the last. I was there at the beginning. I'll be there at the end. I'm the Lord of all. Everything begins with me. Everything ends with me according to the will of my Father. All power and authority belong to him. And he said, and he's the living one. He's alive. He died, and behold, he's alive forevermore. That's Jesus. Christianity is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the eternal Son of God raised from the dead into glory to the right hand of the Father. And this is the message Jesus wants John to get, because the churches that he's shepherding in his own life, they're under threat. Some are under threat of very serious persecution. Some people will lose their lives. The powers of the world are pressing in on the church, trying to terrorize the church, trying to get the church to compromise, to turn away from its radical stance, to conform, to be safe, to be protected. And Jesus makes clear what's at stake is eternal destiny. And what the devil's trying to do in these moments of trial and difficulty and darkness is to get people to quit, to draw back, to give in, to conform to the world, to protect ourselves. And Jesus is essentially saying, you don't have anything to be afraid of. Don't be afraid. I'm alive. I died. I conquered what they're threatening you with. There's no greater power that human beings experience, short of God himself, than death. And it's what everybody at some level is afraid of, is fighting against, is seeking to avoid, is denying. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. I hold the keys of death and Hades. The final judgment of all things is in my hands. No one can snatch you out of my hand. No one. And death now is not your ultimate end. It's not dying in darkness. It's a passageway to the kingdom. It's a birth canal, as Dr. Peter Kreef would often say, leading to eternal life, a life that's in Christ. And he's saying, you're united to me. You have nothing to be afraid of. He said, now write what you see, what is and what is to take place hereafter. So that's the prophetic dimension of the book of John that, again, he emphasizes. And in verse 20, as for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. These are bishops, leaders of the churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So just Jesus wants to remind him as he begins to teach and begins to bring the word of the Lord to the seven churches. It's so important for whatever kind of leadership we have in the body of Christ, whether it's in a small group, whether it's in a family itself, parents, you know, leading a family, whether it's a parish, whether it's a RCIA, whether it's a diocesan level, whatever it is. We need courage to do what we do. We need trust in God. We need the foundation of knowing who it is that holds us in the palm of his hand. That's right where we are. You're not alone. God is with you. It may feel sometimes like you're alone and no one's listening and it's difficult, but remember the exhortation in chapter 1 where he says, John says, I'm with you. I'm experiencing like you're experiencing the tribulation. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. And he said, I'm also experiencing with you the patient endurance of living in the kingdom in this world, that it requires patience. It requires endurance, a capacity to keep pressing into the love of God, to keep moving and trusting in the will of God, going deeper and deeper in the Lord. The only way to do it fruitfully and consistently is to just keep growing in the Lord. Don't plateau. Don't give up. The devil wants you to give up, to give in, to back away, to draw back, to surrender, to say, this is just too much. Just don't go that way. Fix your eyes on who it is you serve. And I think it's worth praying and asking, Lord, show us who you are. Let these words of John come alive in us. Help me understand what it means that I'm in the palm of your hand. My parish is in the palm of your hand. You know, the leaders of my diocese and my parish are in the palm of your hand, and that you walk among us. I think one of the things we need to do in this hour in the church, friends, is to believe these truths and to live as if Jesus is walking among us, paying attention to him, talking with him, listening to him, expecting him to lead and to guide, to be looking for him, right? And then responding to whatever promptings he gives to us and whatever areas of leadership and life that he places us in. It's the great privilege and the great journey and adventure of the Christian life to do that. But it requires faith. It requires a faith that's not just a leap into the dark. It's a response to this revelation. It's clarity about who it is we serve and the nature of the relationship that we have with him and how much he's for us and how much he's in our corner. It's so important to be able to see. And John here is being filled with great encouragement in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord gets a bad rap these days in the church. I was involved in a confirmation class recently, and you know, they changed the fear of the Lord to awe. And they asked the young people the question in a questionnaire, you know, does the fear of the Lord mean that, does it include the wrath of God? And basically they said, no, it doesn't. Somehow in the church today, there are voices and leaders and others who are somehow, I don't know if it's a therapeutic diagnosis or something that, you know, in their mind that it's unhealthy to think of something like the wrath of God or the anger of God or something like that. And I think that's a big mistake. I mean, God is not, you know, stomping around in heaven. He's not an angry, out of control father. But when we resist love and God's will and God's commands, we will experience the consequences of it, which is the way scripture talks about it, is wrath. There's a reality there. And it's meant to instill in us a holy fear of God, a filial fear of God, not a slavish fear, but something that, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. John is getting a taste of it right here. Jesus is giving him a sense of the awesome power of Jesus. And he wants us to have that same experience. And the foundation, it gives wisdom and it gives courage. It's the source of courage and knowing it. And John is getting these tremendous graces, right? And Jesus said, you don't have to have a slavish fear. It's me. I love you. And it makes sense that you fell to the ground as though dead. You know, you're a human being and you can't handle all this presence and revelation with power, but let it encourage you to know who the Lord is, and let it give you the strength to have the fear of God and not the fear of man. The church is filled with the fear of man in so many people's lives, which leads to compromise and conformity, the kind of place where some of the churches are that we're going to look at starting tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.